And I think things we've just been singing about the return of the Lord Jesus and how we live in love. In the light of that, may as well read this whole paragraph. 1 Peter 4, verse 7. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power for ever and ever. Amen. A glorious passage there, which I think is really good news for people in our age. So many people feel like a spare part, that they've got no real purpose in life. They don't have any real significance. What is the point of being here? They don't feel they have a group to be part of either. Their friends may actually be just acquaintances. Their family may be far away. There's so many people lost and alone. But the Bible's picture of being a Christian is being part of a body, a family, where we love and where we each have significance. It's a glorious thing. So let me remind you again, 1 Peter 4 verse 10, each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Now that's a privilege. Imagine two objects are having a chat. You've got a Swiss Army knife and a hammer, and they're chatting to one another. You're so good at getting nails in and out, Mr. Hammer. But me, I'm not much good at anything. Seriously, says the hammer, don't undervalue yourself. The maker put us together with great care. I'm good for a few jobs, yeah, but there's some things I cannot do at all well. I mean, I don't have a compass to help people find their way. I can't pick fish bones from someone's teeth. I can't make a paper chain for the children either. But you've got a little pair of scissors. Okay, you might not be as fast and as flashy as the more specialized tools, but don't do yourself down. That's not humility. My friend, humility is seeing the truth about yourself and knowing that the Maker loves you and put you here for a reason with a whole range of abilities. Don't hide yourself in the bottom of the toolbox. Present yourself to God. Just see what you'll do in the Maker's hand. We've heard a lot about God's work in us the past few weeks. He's rescued us, as we've just been celebrating, through the Lord Jesus. So we're not condemned. We're adopted by God. We're set free to live as God our Father intended, to worship Him using our whole lives. He gives us more grace than that. He gives us His Holy Spirit within, the power to change and the power to serve. He not only works in us, He works through us. 1 Peter 4 says we are stewards of God's grace in its various forms, channels of God's amazing mercy. How beautiful it is to make your particular contribution in the world for the sake of Jesus. It might be as a missionary in Thailand, training others, raising two boys, doing football outreach, or it might be as an honest car mechanic who's a good friend to those around, or who writes cards to his customers. Whatever you do for Jesus brings delight into the heart of God. You steward God's grace. You're a channel of his mercy and love. And last week, Romans 12, we saw one of the main ways that we serve God is in his family. Each Christian helps the church generously, diligently, cheerfully. We certainly serve God at school and at work and at home, but we're more effective at that in the world when we serve each other. The more effective we are as gathered church, the more effective we'll be as scattered church. Romans 12, verse 4 said, we're like a body with many members, and each part has a different role to play. We're not clones of each other, thank God. God put us together knowing that we'd be better at different things. Some might be more gifted in serving or teaching or giving. And we often call such things spiritual gifts. So what exactly are these spiritual gifts? Well, the simple way of putting it is that they're abilities given by the Holy Spirit. We're all gifted in some way, thanks to God. But on top of that, every Christian is given the Holy Spirit. When you trust in Jesus, God the Spirit takes up residence inside your life and he empowers you to serve others in particular ways. In many folks, he will strengthen existing abilities. In some others, he will give new abilities. And it'd be very easy to boast, wouldn't it? You know, yes, I am so gifted, aren't I? Or it'd be easy to get envious of someone else. Oh, I wish I had her gift. But envy and boasting are just silly. There's no point complaining about what you did or didn't get. We're talking about gifts. No point being proud of them either. Spiritual gifts aren't earned or deserved. We're not talking about spiritual wages. Each gift is given by the Holy Spirit as he sees fit. He equips us differently so that we'd work well together. No point the hand being jealous of the eye. How could the body touch things without the hand? And so on. Let me change the analogy with another illustration. I've hidden some objects around the room. They're inside the pouch of the chair in front of you. Sorry, those on the front rows, you won't get this. But hopefully in front of you, you'll either find some used notice sheet that somebody probably should have taken away a while, but that's great. Please take that with you, recycle it. Or you will find a tool. Look in the pouch in front of you. Hopefully four people are sat. Oh, excellent. So we have a spanner, a screwdriver, a little tape measure. And is there one more? Maybe over there. Oh, you've got the spanner, yeah. There should be one more. Maybe over that side of the room. Have you got one over there? Yes, a pair of pliers. Fantastic. Okay, hold them up high. This is a visual aid for those who love this kind of... A visual aid that we are each a tool in God's toolbox. I wish I could have given each of you a tool today. By the way, I want those back. But, I could have given each of you a tool to remind you that actually you are an instrument in the Redeemer's hand. You are put here for a variety of reasons. He may use you in all sorts of ways. And what a privilege. There's no spare parts in God's people. We're not all constructed to do the same job, though. Some of us are especially suited to encouragement, others at administration or evangelism. Still others pray all the time, and astounding things happen when they pray. But please don't think of yourself as a mere spanner. You're not put here just for one task, to be performed in the same way as everyone else. You're more like a unique Swiss Army knife. You're able to serve God in countless distinctive ways in various situations. You see, the same gift might not look the same in different people. Belinda, for example, looks at Lorraine cooking for large numbers of people every other week, and she says, I don't have the gift of hospitality, but you do. Well, not necessarily. Belinda's gift of hospitality will look quite different from Lorraine's. Because Belinda actually notices the people on the edges of the church family. She listens to them over a cup of tea and a biscuit. She can't cook amazing meals, but she cares for people. And she lets them know that they're special. Lorraine and Belinda can learn from each other in hospitality, but that doesn't mean that they'll be exactly the same. So you might not think that you're particularly gifted because you don't work like others do. But if you're serving others, your particular gifts are being put into action. And so my main message this morning is this. In love, get serving. In love, get serving. And my emphasis really is on love. That's how it is in the Bible. We've seen it here in 1 Peter 4, verse 8. Above all, love each other deeply. And one of the great passages about spiritual gifts is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Do turn there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, page 1154. 1154. In the church at Corinth, they were bickering over who had the better gifts. How foolish. Chapter 12, Paul's saying, now come on, you're like a body. Each member is important. Chapter 14, much rather to build one another up than just look to build yourself up. But in the middle of all of that, he's got the most important chapter about love. This we should bear in mind as we think about spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 13. I'll just read the first three verses. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but don't have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but don't have love, I gain nothing. This is really important, is that the issue of spiritual gifts, of finding our significance, can be so, well, it can promote so much selfishness. We can get bogged down in bickering and controversies too. But the Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts that we may serve in love. May bind together as a unified family. It's not for our kudos. People can so easily make a show of how much time they give to something, or they display how much they know about something, or they could brag about the miracles they've been a part of. It's just wrong-headed. Every gift is given for the benefit of others. It's not for me. Besides, where does the power really lie? It's not in me. There's only one person who should get the glory. Whichever way you serve the church, it is always in God's power and to his glory. Just remind you of one verse we did read earlier, 1 Peter 4:11. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Let's not get proud of what we can do. It was only ever in the strength that God provided. And so without him, we'd be nothing. God's power works through instruments that are weak. That's how God is glorified. So Christians, we serve in love, by God's power, to his glory. That's the main point. Whatever else you say about spiritual gifts is small print. We serve in love, by God's power, to his glory. But you might ask, but how can I serve God more effectively in the details? What are my spiritual gifts? And I'd say, well, it's kind of a chicken and egg question. Which comes first, knowing that you have a gift or using the gift? I would say it's probably using the gift, because it's only when you use it that you realize you've got it. So, discover your gifts by serving. Discover your gifts by serving. If you feel like a spare part, if you're not sure how God has equipped you, look for a need and seek to meet it in your own way. And you will discover ways that God has equipped you that perhaps you weren't aware of. But if you sit back and wait, well, no one can discern what you're good at. Step out in faith. Serve others in love. You can trust the Holy Spirit will make it obvious that you've got at least one gift. Well, what gifts are there? What kinds of things are we looking at? Well, there's no single list in the Bible. There's no master list. There are a few gifts scattered around in the Old Testament, and there are four main lists in the New Testament. And each of them is just a sample list. In Ephesians 4, you've got some foundational gifts, like apostles and evangelists, those who plant churches. Then there's the list in Romans 12. We saw that last week. It's very practical. Gifts like leading and showing mercy and encouraging. And then there are two lists in 1 Corinthians 12, the church that was just crazy for the supernatural gifts. They are excited about things like healing and speaking in foreign tongues. Fair enough. And so the Bible lists about 20 different spiritual gifts, things like prophecy, teaching, helping, craftsmanship, administration, tongues, interpretation, wisdom, evangelism, miracles, encouraging, giving, leadership, discernment, mercy, music, healing, serving. You might wonder which of these gifts you have. In which way do you best serve your brothers and sisters? Simplest way to find out is to have a go. Like, for myself, as a young Christian, I had no idea what I was going to be good at. I only realized as I met with other believers and tried to do them good. In a home group, we would share what we thought God was trying to say in the scriptures. And it became gradually clear that others found useful the explanations of the Bible that I gave. And then I got the chance to preach my first sermon, 5 minutes long, on Romans 12, 1 and 2. And it was absolutely terrifying. But someone came up afterwards and they were really appreciative. And that was just one little confirmation along the path. I suppose it just underscores the importance of encouragement. If someone else serves well or builds you up, well, tell them. Encouragement is vital if they're going to find out how best to serve. And encouragement is vital if they're going to keep on serving, isn't it? So how do you discover your gifts? Get serving, and then you may find others encouraging you specifically. You may find them saying, yeah, don't do it that way. Maybe this way is a better way. That's fine. But if you're not moving, it's very difficult to steer a ship that isn't moving. It's got to be moving first. So get serving and let God guide you. You may find something else quite helpful then, which is a spiritual gift survey. There's loads of these around. Some are better, some are worse, but they usually have a list of 40 or 100 questions asking things like this. Do you feel huge compassion for the sick? Do you love visiting them? Crucially, do they find it uplifting when you visit? If yes, then it's quite likely you've got a gift like mercy. Do you enjoy administration? Do you love making things run efficiently? Do others ask you to sort things out? Well, it's quite likely you've got the gift of administration. Do you find it satisfying to help people at a crossroads in life? Do you often see the outcomes of others' personal decisions? Do other people often seek your advice? If yes, then maybe you have the gift of wisdom. Now, in all of that, it's particularly important not to rest on your own perspective, isn't it? Sometimes we think we have no gifts, but if we were to ask others, they would tell us. And sometimes we really think we do have a gift, and others can tell us quite clearly we don't. So why not ask a mature Christian who knows you well if they've noticed anything you're good at? You might even run past them that spiritual gift survey you've had a go at. If you're interested in doing a spiritual gift survey, come see me afterwards. I'll be glad to recommend one to you. And you know what? Here's a fascinating thing. If you've done this years ago, do it again. Because spiritual gifts actually develop. They change through the years according to your character, your personality, and the opportunities that God gives you. It's a dynamic thing. But in all of this, please don't idolize one or other of the spiritual gifts. No gift is superior to any other. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 20 says this, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. So every member of this church is equally valuable, no matter what contribution they make. And so it's tragic if an evangelical church like ours should make teaching paramount. I think that might be one of our tendencies. As if the pastor is the only one filled with the Holy Spirit. As if no other gift really achieves anything. No. At different times, we all need wisdom. We all need encouragement. We all need practical assistance. And isn't music a real tonic? So let's not import the world's hierarchy into the church, as if people have a status according to their gifting or their role. We're not rungs on a ladder. We're members of a body, and each part is vital. So please don't put teachers like me on a pedestal. Now, a more charismatic church might be prone to exalt some of the more supernatural gifts. In some places, tongues is the marker of true spirituality. Whether that's talking about evangelism in another language, as in Acts 2, some Christians would think that, or the majority position is tongues is praying with unintelligible words. You may have heard people praying like this, shalamalaka, blah, 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 that the mind is disengaged from their lips, but they're engaging with God in tongues. Well, Paul says in these chapters, 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, tongues is good, but he doesn't put that gift on a pedestal. Instead, he says, seek greater gifts, those that benefit others with intelligible words. So it's sad in some churches they developed the false idea that every spirit-filled Christian must speak in tongues. I'm not sure the Bible says that. Paul's very clear at the end of 1 Corinthians 12 that within any church there's a variety of gifts. Have a look at how he finishes the chapter. From verse 29. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Implied answer, no. Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Implied answer, no. So, different Christians have different gifts, and none is superior. In fact, let's push this a little bit further. You are a unique combination of different passions and abilities. No craftsman will do things in the same way as another. No miracle worker is the same as any other. And Russell and I don't teach in an identical way, although people will often find it difficult to tell us apart. Yeah, sometimes I look in the mirror, I find it difficult. But so my point is, no gift will be expressed in the same way. Because no two people are the same as each other. Your words today could be both wise and merciful. Someone else's could be wise and instructive. So what gift is being exercised? Is it mercy or wisdom or teaching? Oh, it'd just be silly to label anyone simply with one of them. It's more than likely that in any one conversation, you'll exercise a whole range of gifts without realizing it. God has placed you here as a distinctive individual with a whole range of abilities. In other words, you could put it like this. You are each a gift of the Holy Spirit to the church. So there's no need to pin your identity on having a particular gift or on exercising it. Because you can each serve in any number of unique ways. I don't think you need to expend much energy finding out what your particular gift set truly is. Instead, just work hard to spot the needs and in love, get serving. Trust God to develop your character and your skills as you go. So, here's some applications. If you're sat here and you're not yet a Christian, if you don't yet trust in Jesus, then notice how this family operates. Not everyone is the same. Isn't that beautiful? If you follow the Lord Jesus, you will not lose your individuality. Instead, that's something God has given you and he will make use of. You will not be a spare part. You will be part of a loving family and you will find a significant place. If you are a Christian here, can I encourage you, become a formal member of the church and get stuck in. This is your family, the community that God has given you to build up so that we'll go into the world and make disciples effectively. So please don't treat these gatherings as a spectator sport. I know the structure that we often have for our teaching is kind of I speak and you sit there, but that's only for half an hour or less. Actually, most of our meetings are designed for you guys to minister to one another, to reflect on what God has been saying in his word, to meet personal needs. You see, it's all about participation. And it's far more than just kind of putting your name down on a rota, as if you're a mere cog in a machine. No, get relating to those around you with your variety of gifts. You've been created and redeemed to be a channel of grace. But that does require knowing those around you well enough to know what they need. And for them to know what you need as well. So the work of the kingdom isn't really ticking off jobs on a list. It's about knowing people. So I urge you, brothers and sisters, come early to these gatherings, whenever we gather together. Aim to come early and chat. Get to know your spiritual family. Look for people on the edges. Find out their needs. Connect them with other people who can definitely help them. And after a gathering, stick around for coffee, stick around for lunch today. And love those that you meet. You may arrange to meet up during the week, maybe in a home group, maybe in a prayer triplet. But make the most of every opportunity amongst this family to serve your brothers and sisters. You are a gift of the Holy Spirit to this church. You have a role to play. And it's exciting, and it might look quite different from week to week. But place yourself in the hand of the divine craftsman and just see what he will do through you. I was thrilled at one of the funerals this past week to look behind me and suddenly realize that one of my brothers was praying with another guy. He had his hands on him praying in compassion, praying passionately for the needs that his brother had. I didn't overhear what they were praying about, but it was awesome just to see there he was spontaneously looking to serve his brother. I think that guy might have a gift, something like intercession. You see, just brilliant to grab the chance to be a vehicle of God's grace wherever you are. And it doesn't just overflow here. It overflows wherever we are. Now, there are existing ministries that are just brilliantly designed for different kinds of people to serve. Russell has already mentioned them, and I think it's important that I mention these, because if we let these drop without mentioning them, it'd be a great shame. I think these ministries would be awesome for a range of different people to get involved in. We've mentioned Holiday Bible Club and Toddlers over the past few weeks. Both of them are great to share the good news together with those who aren't yet Christians. At the moment, Holiday Bible Club, at the end of July, has only got enough helpers to run in a reduced format. Sadly, we won't be able to invite any new children to hear about the Lord Jesus, just existing contacts. Now, it might be the case that that's how God has engineered it this year. But maybe you're one of the individuals that God has raised up to be a part of that, to help more children hear about the Saviour. Another ministry of the church that's just great for people with different gifts is the toddler group, which runs every Tuesday morning during term time. During June, we actually desperately need people to help serve drinks and snacks from the kitchen. Very simple, very practical. But actually, you get a chance to chat to people through the hatch as well. And longer term, we desperately need people who will help set up toys and get to know the parents and the toddlers who come. It's just a ready-made opportunity to partner together to share the gospel with those who may never have heard it. Now, it's possible that we won't have the individuals to staff it from June. Maybe then God wants other ministry opportunities to emerge instead. That's okay. Let's just keep looking at the needs around us, the opportunities, and praying that the Holy Spirit raises up people to meet them and be ready for him to get you serving in that way. You might say, but I'm not a spanner, I'm a hammer. I'm not a toddler kind of person. Well, I used to think that too. Please don't hem yourself in with a narrow definition of what your skill set is. God has made you with a massive combination of abilities and passions and skills and experience. Be amazed how God will use you. You just place yourself in his hands. But the important thing is that we do this in love. Not doing it out of duty, not doing it out of guilt. We're doing it out of love. God has so loved us, he sent his son to die for us and to bind us together as a family. And enjoying that love and being a vehicle of that love, we serve others in love. Because we're each a gift of the Holy Spirit to his church. So my closing challenge is this: grow in love. You get serving in God's power to his glory as a gift of the Holy Spirit. So grow in love. 1 Corinthians 13 has much to say to us. I'll read it again. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but don't have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have a faith that can move mountains, but don't have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but don't have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It isn't proud. It doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. That is the love that we've received from God, and that is the love that we pass on. That's what it means to be the church, using our spiritual gifts. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we beg of you, please, cause us to know your love more deeply, that we ourselves would be more loving. Let us speak in love. Let us act in love. Help us in love to perceive the needs of those around us, whether in the church family or beyond. Give us courage to step out in love, maybe in new ways. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would equip us to be channels of God's grace in its various forms. We pray this, Lord Jesus, that you may be glorified in this your family, now and forevermore. Amen.